I bring you greetings from Church for the Nations, Geneva, Switzerland. My pastor, Pastor Alice Phillips. And I bring you greetings from my husband, Dr. Peter Olumesi, who would have very much loved to be here this morning. Hallelujah, let's get into this business. I'm told that you have been talking about salt of the earth. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that. Join me, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let's read Job 6, verse 6. Job chapter 6, verse 6. Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of egg? Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of eggs? Please write the scriptures down. You're going to be Berean Christians. You go home and study them. Let's take one more. Revelations chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. Revelations chapter 3, verse 13. He who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angels of the church at Laodicea write, these are the things, says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works. You are neither cold or hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Somebody said this will not be my portion. Your lives are like salt among people. But if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless food is good for nothing, but will be thrown out and trampled by others. And when God spoke to the angels at Laodicea, he is saying to them, that because you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out. To be lukewarm is to be still, to be stagnant, to be saltless. Lukewarmness is a picture of spiritual barrenness. You are coming from the convention, Jubilee, perfect Jubilee. Many blessings have been proclaimed. Many prophecies have been proclaimed. But we have a responsibility as children of God to activate these promises by being in line with God's will and purpose. And he is saying, if you have no salt, if you have lost your flavor, you will be trampled. If you are lukewarm, I will vomit you out. I will spew you out. It's a statement of disgust. For a theme, topic for this sermon, it is a question that I've come to. Will adversity or life's challenges make you lose your saltiness? It is a question. Will adversity or life's challenges make you lose your saltiness? That's the answer I want to hear. You see, what does salt do? I'm sure you've had lots of teaching on this, but let me remind you a few of them. As the salt of the earth, you preserve that portion of the earth God has given you. Whether you are in the marketplace, or you are in the office, or you are in the hospital, or you are in the courts, every space that God has located you, you are not there by accident. Your location is purposefully orchestrated for a reason. And to be the salt of the earth in that place, it means that you, as God image bearer, represent him there. And he's saying, as salt, preserve that place. Oh, do we have problems in Nigeria today? Oh, we are so quick to talk about all the issues that we are facing. But what if you will be the salt where God has located you? Well, the problems of Nigeria today, or whatever life challenges you are facing, make you lose your saltiness? You see, salt is so important in those days that they even use it to pay the salary of the soldiers, the Roman soldiers. That is how they pay their salary. And so when you say a man is not worth his salt, it means that that man is adding no value to where he has been located. It means that that man is not dependable. It means that that woman is not trustworthy. Are you worth your salt, my friends? Are you worth your salt? Or the challenges that you face every day has made you to lose your flavor? Salt is valuable. It is needed. It is essential. And that's why Job could say, in his agony, in his pain, in his travail, that how can a man eat a food that is unsavory without salt? I'm first trained as a professional nutrition scientist. I ensure that people who are sick are able to eat food that is palatable and yet provide what they need. And so when we take care of patients with diet, we need to ensure that that food is appetizing and edible and attractive for them to eat. And so when a patient looks at a food and say that it is disgusting, I cannot eat this, just as Job has said, it means that that food has no value for that patient. Do you have value before God in the place where he has located you? I have come to pose you a lot of questions today, and I want you to ponder on this question. Salt in itself preserves. When I was a young girl growing in Lagos, in Obanikoro, my mother used to go to the market at Shomolu to buy what they call eja oniyo. It has been soaked. I don't know whether they still do that these days. Soaked in salt to preserve it. And that fish can stay for a long time. In fact, you cannot eat it as it is. You have to soak it for a while and discard the water because that salt is too much. But it keeps the texture. It keeps the taste of the fish. So salt is a preservative. That is why I am saying that as the salt of the earth, you have been called to preserve that space of earth. And the salt of the earth refers to a group of people considered to be representative of the best and noblest elements of the society. Let me say that to you again. Salt of the earth are considered to be individuals or a group of people that are considered to be the best and the noblest of the earth society. Brethren, we want a better Nigeria. We are praying for a better Nigeria. Are you the best and the noblest of this society in the way you transact, in the way that you behave, in the way that you speak? And sometimes life happens to us. But God has said in Revelation chapter 3, he gives us a stark warning that irrespective of our circumstances, we are either hot or we are cold. I'm not talking in terms of lukewarmness of our spiritual temperature. You see, in Laodicea at that time, they had no water supply of their own. And therefore, they depended on hot spring from the northern part and cold water to come from the coast of Colossae. But by the time the hot spring travels and gets to them, it is no longer hot. It is lukewarm and filled with sulfur. And of course, when you have sulfur in water, it tastes terrible. And that's why I say, if you are lukewarm, he will pray. And you might be wondering, what has saltiness got to do with overcoming adversity and overcoming life's challenging situation? John 16:33 says to us, I have told you these things so that in me you will have peace. In this world, you will have troubles. In this world, what did it say? You will have troubles. But take heart. Praise God, he didn't end it with troubles. He says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. Brethren, we live in a fallen world today, where suffering is inevitable because of the rebellion of our forefather Adam and Eve. Bad things happen to good people. And anyway, come to think of it, the Bible tells us that the testing of our faith will prove its genuineness. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind. It's a hard message to preach. But that the reality of our world today is that we are living in a broken world. And things are going to happen in this world. But will you and I remain salt of the earth when life happens? When the unexpected visits our doorstep? Will you and I remain standing? Or we will curse God. Like Job's wife told him, curse God and die. I love A.W. Tozer. He's a Bible teacher that has blessed my life. He says, the man that God will use greatly, he will test deeply. Every one of us wants to be used greatly by God. But there is a process to greatness in the things of God. It comes with passage of right through adversity. It is inevitable in this world, no matter how spiritual we may be. And ultimately, it is our rite of passage to becoming disciple. It's a hard message, but I'm bringing it home. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Matthew 16, 24. Are you a disciple? Are you a disciple, church? Do you want to be the disciple that follows Jesus, that carries the image of Jesus everywhere you go? Then you cannot lose your saltiness no matter how hard life gets. You see, one thing that I love about God is that he never leaves us unprepared. And he prepares us for what might come our way. A few years ago, actually, a couple of decades ago, I said to God, Lord, I want you to use me greatly. I want to be an instrument in your hand. I want to be your handmaiden, used for your glory. But you see, before he could use this vessel, he broke it, melted it in the furnace of affliction, and then remolded it and formed it into a new one that he can use for his glory. Because that previous vessel could not carry, it would have been dangerous for God to carry, to pour his anointing into that vessel. He needed to process it. So let me share with you a little bit of my story. If you want to get the details of this message, you need to be at the second service where I will expound a little bit more. I'm a lung transplant survivor. And I'm a bilateral amputee. I am standing in front of you with two legs amputated. And you're wondering, but you are walking all around now. I'm walking all around on the feet of grace. Two artificial legs. My feet of grace. How did this happen? For 20 long years, I lived with a chronic respiratory disease called bronchiectasis, and a debilitating neuromuscular disease called myasthenia gravis. The combination of the two, such that I coughed every day for 20 years, non-stop. Not one day was I free. And I'm not talking about I'm talking about the kind of cough that your chest feels like it is on fire. And the stuff that were coming out of my chest is beyond words to describe. 3 times they opened up my chest. First in 1993, I have a huge scar behind my back. And they brought out a cyst the size of my fist from between my heart and my lungs. I thought the cough would stop. It didn't. 2003, I was walking in Tamale in northern region of Ghana. The two lungs collapsed. No medical services equipped enough to manage it. They put me in an ambulance. No oxygen. No air conditioner. 10.5 hours from Tamale to Accra. The doctors marveled how I made it. And so I was airlifted to Switzerland. I had a second surgery on my lungs. And I said, Lord, what is going on? And he reminded me of the word that he gave me in October 1984, 3 months after I gave my life to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all comforts, who comforts us in all our afflictions with the same comfort with which we will be comforted. And everything that has been happening to me since that period, each time it happens, he will say, Irene, I will comfort you in all your afflictions with the same comfort that you will comfort others. The man that God is going to use greatly, he will test deeply. 2007, I went back to work in Cairo, and there again, my lungs failed. And then the doctors told me that my lungs could no longer hold sufficient oxygen to maintain life, that I have to be on oxygen 24 hours a day. Time does not permit me to share the full extent of the story testimony tonight, this morning. So I carried a bottle on my shoulder for oxygen. I had a cylinder of oxygen in my office. I had an oxygen concentrator at home. And I needed to finish that project because I'm the salt of the earth that God sent to that office. And no man who lays his hands on the plow and look back is fit for the kingdom of God. Therefore, the project I was sent there to do, I must complete before I finish, because I am God's image bearer in that office. So with my oxygen, we finished the project at the end of 2007. And my Muslim counterpart, who made the presentation for the government, said, I will say it in French, the way she said it, and I will translate it. She said, c'est par la grâce de Dieu et persévérance d'Irène, nous avons fini le projet. When a Muslim woman stands up and say, it is by the grace of God and Irene's perseverance that we have finished this project. In a government interministerial committee meeting, you know that you have established your mark. So I came back home to Geneva. Nothing to do except to cough, nebulize, and medicate. 2010, my doctors told me they had exhausted all options. All medical options to keep me alive. And so, the only option left was to have a lung transplant. And so I said, God, somebody is going to die for me to live. How do I pray? How do you pray that somebody should die so that you can live? I said, God, I know fit. And then he took me to Isaiah 43. He says, because you are precious to me and I love you, I give Egypt for your ransom, Seba for your sake, and men in exchange for your life. And so my prayer from then on was like, God, this man who is going to die for me to live must be a candidate for heaven. However long it's going to take, keep me. I was on ventilator from 2010 to 2013 before they called me that they have found a suitable donor for me. Black woman in Switzerland, predominantly white environment, they found a suitable donor for me. I stand here today with the lungs of my unknown benefactor expanding in my chest. And for as long as I draw this breath, these lungs will expand in praise to the Almighty God. So I went in for this surgery. And they had told me that there is a constellation of risks. Constellation means stars that cannot be counted. So the risk associated was that much. Nothing they were expecting happened. They said I would bleed to death on the surgical table. But 12 hours after the surgery, hell broke loose. Every system began to shut down. They had to put me on induced coma. I was asleep for 5 weeks in coma. And while I was asleep, it was fierce battle. But I'm here today. I woke up 5 weeks later, and the doctor said to me, Madame Olumese, you got very strong lungs, but watch for what comes after board. While you were in coma, there was insufficient blood supply to your hands and to your legs. Therefore, we are going to amputate both hands, both legs. 20 years of coughing, 7 years on oxygen, 3 years on ventilator, and now both legs and hands to be amputated. I said, Father, take me home. And the Father said to me, I will comfort you in all your afflictions with the same comfort you will comfort others. Then he went further to say, I will give Irene the feet of grace that will take her to places and natural feet will never take her. Places beyond your wildest imagination. The feet of grace brought me before you today. Will adversity make you lose your saltiness? It is a double tragedy to waste your pain. If in this world we're going to have trials and tribulations, then as the salt of the earth, I am going to transform that pain to power, to purpose, and to profit. I will transform that pain to something that will benefit others. I will transform my pain to something that will bring glory to God. I will transform my pain to something that is of eternal value. My friend, what are you doing with what life has handed you? Are you there begging down? Oh, my. Why me? Get up, salt of the earth, and ask God, what do you want to use my pain for? My time is up. But I tell you today, my pain is now a foundation providing prosthetic limbs for amputees in Nigeria. Today, over 120 amputees have received support from losing two legs. My pain has become a ministry going to nations to inspire hope and to challenge you never to give up on hope. Don't waste your pain. It is a double tragedy to waste your pain. And your pain will be in vain if it does not serve as a gain for another. It will be in vain if it does not stand for eternal value. My pain is a business. My pain is a profession. Today, I'm a trauma coach. I help people transform their trauma to triumph. Salt of the earth, will adversity make you lose your saltiness? Stand up and let us pray. Say, Father, have mercy on me. Father, have mercy on me. I desire to walk in the fullness of your purpose. Lord, forgive me for the time that I have wasted. Forgive me in the ways that I have lost my saltiness. Father, restore me, O God. Restore me that I might flavor my earth, that I might preserve the world that you have kept me. Father, have mercy, O God. Restore me to your purpose, that I might walk in the fullness of your purpose and experience your lavish extravagance, O God. That Jubilee blessing will become a reality in my life because I walk as salt of the earth in the name of Jesus. Father God, we honor your name. We worship you. Let your word that has gone forth be a seed on fertile grounds in this heart. Everyone here today crying in the deep of the night, Open their eyes, oh God, to see Jesus walking in their situation. Father, those who are going through the storms, open their eyes to see Jesus present with them. Those who are in the furnace of affliction, open their eyes to see the fourth man with them, oh God. Father God, that they may receive courage and grace, oh God, to stand for you in the midst of the storms. In the name of Jesus.